right there, rocked him. Sent to go.
Fight!
Domi and Guida.
Pace is relentless.
45. Here again with the head kick and the takedown.
Maynard and Edgar putting on a show.
Outstanding.
Wow.
Amazing that Frankie Edgar was able to recover from that at all. And he's got Maynard.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
We'll pull up some dust and sit down.
My baby, Ronnie Spector. She appeared like in Saratoga like last year, and I missed it. Somebody was out of town. Straight up, she's like the only one left on my bucket list. Can you believe that? Jake Durant, can you believe that? I've seen so many people now. I've only got Ronnie Spector left. Am I getting old? Stitch?
Yeah, well, you're talking about, yeah, Pedro. Sure, we're both getting old, brother, and... You know, and I'm sitting back here thinking about the time when I first met Pedro in the Golden Globes against Paul Carrasco. And, you know, those are like mega years ago. And now, you know, you're still on the show and I'm still doing what I'm doing. And, yeah, brother, we are getting old.
Yeah, but before we get...
That's not a bad thing.
Of course, this is Jake Durant. They call him Stitch, folks. Jacob Durant, of course. He's out of Planeta, California. But I always thought you were from the Northern California here in San Francisco area. Where the heck is Planeta?
You know, it's right in the center of the – actually, Merced is the closest town, okay. But it's right between a bunch of orchards. You know, I grew up as a farm worker, and that's Planeta, man. There's nothing but fruits and vegetables there. That's what kept us healthy as young kids.
Were you in Turlock when I whooped on that boy down there at Turlock so bad they had to give me a police escort out of town?
I don't think so.
No.
But I was at the – I think it was the Cow Palace, huh, when you did the Golden Gloves up there with – when I think the police were kind of messing with you anyway.
Yeah, well, not only that. I remember when I checked this out, when I was fighting for the police department, I went down to the police Olympics in San Diego, California. They put some pro in there with me, and the guy had scar tissue, and I'm saying to myself, you know, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here. This guy's got all this scar tissue. We're supposed to be amateur cops like Golden Glovers because they questioned me having my Golden Glove background whether I was able to box in the police Olympics. So anyway, this guy had 13 pro fights. I beat him like a girl. They were throwing bottles at me. I mean, these cops from L.A. were so pissed off, they were throwing bottles. I got that gold medal, and I walked out of the ring. But the bottom line is, the next year, they disqualified this guy because he had the pro experience that I said he had. And, of course, they tried to deny it. Anyway, Jake Stitch Duran's our guest. Of course, Jake's been all over the world. Vladimir Klitschko's corner. Cain Velasquez's corner. In other words, he's reached the heights in both the world of mixed martial arts and the world of boxing that few men – I think nobody else has ever done this. I really don't. I think he's probably, right now, you can call him like the godfather of cut, man, because Stitch has got a lot of years because Stitch started early on. Stitch, when did you do your first cut, when you were five?
Pretty much, man. You know, I used to work with Dennis Alexio and I had my own school of kickboxing in Fairfield when I moved out of the Oakland area. And that's when I learned how to be a cut, man. But I got my initial training out of King's Gym. Actually, I was the first member to sign up for King's Gym, Charles King. And me and Pete Alvarado had the first amateur boxing team, and that's where I got into the coaching. And here I am now in Las Vegas, but I'm talking to my friend Pedro Fernandez.
Marcia King, what a great lady she was. And she didn't take any smack. I remember Julio Cesar Chavez spit on the floor there, and she told him, pick that crap up right now.
Yeah, that was the old school. Old school days, brother.
Yeah, that was the old school. Speaking of Dennis Alexio, the former world kickboxing champion out of the Sacramento area, what is it, Woodland? Where was he up from up there?
Out of Vacaville. You know, I lived in Fairfield. He lived in Vacaville, 6 miles away, and we worked together as a team.
Now, he almost made the crossover to being successful as a boxer. How come he never made that move? He talked about it.
Well, you know, he had like 12 fights as a boxer and did pretty well. I think he was like 11-1. But, you know, his whole forte was kickboxing, and we were talking about just the other day where he won the light heavyweight, the cruiserweight, and the heavyweight, and the super heavyweight championships in kickboxing until the MMA guys came. Dennis was really the best athlete I'd ever seen and worked with, and like I said, once these MMA guys came in, then there was a whole volume of great athletes.
Well, you know, we talked about it yesterday, and last night's show I do the Sports Overnight America, the weekend edition, 10 p.m. Pacific time on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. And we talked about how the game has evolved. I mean, Royce Gracie, as great as he was in winning UFC 1 back in 1993, he would have a hard time being a contender nowadays.
Well, I worked his last fight when he fought Matt Hughes.
Oh, God.
And he literally just got destroyed because the evolution of the game has really progressed so much, Pedro, that even in that, from that era to the era right now, these athletes are getting better and better and better, and it just, it blows my mind. And I mean, I've done hundreds of maybe thousands of these fights, and I just thank God that I'm old, brother, because I couldn't hang with these young guys.
Boxing 101, that's what seems to be happening now in the world of mixed martial arts. Chris Weidman, of course, using Boxing 101 to take out the iconic Anderson Silva. Frank Mir using that Boxing 101 to take out the real handsome guy Silva, Antonio Silva, a couple of months ago when he hooked off the jab. I mean, he hooked off that jab. Listen, I mean, whoever turned Frank around, because Frank was a left-hander, born a left-hander, and he was jabbing with his right hand, as do a lot of conventional fighters, okay? I mean, fighters that are left-handed, but they're conventional. What I mean by this is the Bruce Lee method is non-conventional. Bruce Lee says you should fight with your strong hand forward. That was his school of thought. What do you think about that, Stitch?
It's really, the guys have really improved in all skills. As a matter of fact, and Frank Mir, we just did the UFC fights Wednesday in San Diego. He knocked out Todd Duffy.
Yeah, I know. Well, how many?
Cold knockout.
Yep.
But, guys are realizing, and it's funny that you bring this up, Pedro, because when I first started with the UFC, and that was UFC number 33, and we're at 189 now, the boxing skills were kind of lacking, and guys were breaking their hands because they're hitting guys on top of the head or the elbow, and they've gotten better. But that whole sport has gotten better with the grappling and with the jiu-jitsu and everything that, even the traditional kickboxing or karate, which, the front kick to the face, the Anderson Silva type of technique, Lyoto Machida, those are all being equated into the sport. So it's becoming a hell of a sport, man.
UFC 33, Tito Ortiz and Vladimir Mitchashenko, that was in Vegas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was, at the MGM.
Yeah, and that was a fight that the Zuffa folks didn't buy enough TV time, and the fight ran out, like in the third or fourth, like the third round, boom, it ended.
Yeah, what a memory, man. Yeah, but you're absolutely right, and that was the start of getting rid of errors and making this game better. And, I worked the McGregor and Chad Mendes fight last Saturday, and just the production that the UFC is bringing to the table, I've seen it grow, and it's growing in leaps and bounds, and no telling where we're going to be at 5 years from now, Pedro.
Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but some guys like Brendan Schaub are making $100,000 off their trunks, and now if they go with this Reebok deal the UFC's got together, the most they can make is $40,000. I think that any time you go into the fighter's pocket and take money out, I have an issue with that, Stitch.
Oh, well, listen, man, that affected me big time also, Pedro, so I'm glad you brought that up because, I had my own sponsors that were paying me on a monthly basis, and I was keeping my family afloat and all that, and me as a cut man were not even in the program that the UFC put together with the fighters and Reebok. So now I had to get rid of my vest, and they gave me a generic vest that has my name in the back and UFC and cut man in the front, and I feel like a convict, man. But, yeah, I kind of took it in the shorts big time.
Are they invoking too much control? It's sort of like Dana White's a micromanager and he's going everywhere. And I know you don't want to rap on him too bad because you work closely with these people, but you work with the fighters. You don't work with the company per se. You don't draw a check from UFC, do you?
Well, I do, but the thing about it, I'm hired on a fight by fight basis, even though I get priority in the fights. But I'm an independent contractor at the end of the day. And, that's why I can't understand how me as an independent contractor, I don't work for the UFC. They hire me, but how I'm penalized by not keeping my sponsors or even getting sponsored by Reebok and not be put in that same equation as the UFC fighters. And a lot of the guys aren't very happy because if you're just coming into the scene, you're not getting a whole lot of compensation for wearing the Reebok outfits.
Well, listen, I got to say this. That sort of reminds me of a civil rights issue here. In other words, you should be able to wear what you want. And, when fighters put those tattoos on their back, those temporary tattoos a few years ago, Everybody got, they were aghast. Oh, HBO went, you can't do that. Showtime, you can't do that. Well, if a guy got $500 more, $1,000 more stitch to put that on his back, if he gets more money to put something on his trunks, more power to him, because he's the guy taking the punishment. He's the guy, or she's the girl, that's going to show the residual effects from combat sports down the road, not the guy making the money in the front office.
No, I agree 100%, you know, and that's, but not only that, but just on the visual effect of what's happening now, what happened in the past, and, you know, every fighter had their own design of uniform and all that, and it brought out that individuality. Now you look at them, and my wife says, because we were looking to fight yesterday, she goes, you know, they're wearing the same uniform, it's just that one is black and one is white. And, you know, that seems to be the negative thought of not only the fighters but the fans also. But you look at it, and it's taken away that individuality. I mean, some of the guys, like, listen, Macho Camacho in his days, he would come out with his outfits, you know. People look forward to seeing that, and you just don't see that anymore.
You know, I remember when he wore those hot pants in Atlantic City, and a guy named by the last name of Reyes knocked him down on a USA Tuesday Night Fight. And he had his name Macho. He had it written on his underwear, okay? And believe it or not, you got to see it because he got knocked on his butt. He didn't envision that happening, but it happened that night.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's the power of marketing, and that's kind of been limited now with the UFC.
Okay. We'll get back to the money factor in a little bit. We've got Cain Velasquez to talk about, of course, the former world heavyweight champion. Were you in his corner for this fight with Verdum?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Why did he disrespect Mother Nature and like not go into those high altitudes? Because, you know, I have fought at high altitude before, and this is even three rounds, man, three-minute rounds, it's tough. I mean, I went to Mexico City one time. We were at the WBC convention, Stitch. We were walking upstairs. Of course, Mexico City is already high elevation. But we had these roundabout stairways that went up like three floors, and three people collapsed on the stairs going up. Okay, so that's how screwed up the altitude was. Altitude is not something to mess with, but Cain went down there with, like, you know, relatively no time. Verdum was down there for 2 months.
Yeah, you know, and he stayed up there, I think, 2 weeks. And, you know, the Javier Mendez's trainer was talking about getting there early, and Verdum spent 40 days there. But, you know, even Gilbert Melendez and all these other guys, there was guys throwing up in the dressing room. One guy threw up in the ring because of that altitude in it. And you're right, it's like putting a plastic bag on your face, right? But, you know, with Cain Velasquez, you know, he got cut up pretty solid in the first round, and I'm trying to work on him, and he's moving his head. He doesn't let me put the swabs on his face and on his cuts, I should say. Second round, the same thing, and, you know, his coach had to tell him to, you know, let me work on him. And after the fight, I'm talking to the doctor, and he said he had what they call hypoxia, which is a dilution of the oxygen in the system. And you kind of get a little delusional, a little on the crazy side. So that did it. You know, he shot his wad in the first round, and just couldn't regain any oxygen or any calmness back into him, and really took a serious beating.
Well, here's what's up: is that you're sucking for air, and the air is not there. I mean, I think you put it best when you say it's like putting a plastic bag over your head.
Right.
Yeah, Jake Sisteran's our guest, folks. We talk cut men. Cuts in boxing, cuts in MMA, the worst cuts ever. What he uses on cuts. Will he give up any secrets? After the break, we'll find out. This is Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, of course, Ring Talk, live worldwide. 30-plus years now, the longest-running fight show in combat sports. We're here every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours, then we come back Mondays on Sirius XM Satellite Radio at 5 p.m. Pacific time. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide, with the mighty Tower of Power, with this one message for everybody, folks. Check this out.
Love someone, oh, this really should be me. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy for you to create your stunning website. Go to Wix.com and create your website today. It's easy and free. That's Wix.com.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-414-1051. That's 1-800-414-1051. 1-800-414-1051. Call now.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
I don't care what about she's what say, but when I make 135, she cannot say anything. You know, I'm not cheating. You know, I did a mistake. I think everybody know perfect make mistake, and I already prove. You know, I'm clean and I ready for fight her anytime.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know what? As long as she fights at 135 pounds, I don't care if she's injecting a horse semen into her eyeballs. You know, I'm going to beat that girl regardless, and I'm going to prove a point that you don't need to dope to win. If they want to test her extra, fine, you know, go ahead and do that. But regardless, I'm going to beat that girl to the ground.
Sounds of the Super Stroke Land Band coming back here, the Tower of Power horns. Hit it. Tower of Power, Huey Lewis in the news. Did this about 10 years ago. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This hour, you're inside looking at the world of mixed martial arts. It is with great trepidation I ask my next guest this question because he works in part for the UFC. But does the UFC try to get guys to go into the cage hurt to fight Jake Duran?
What was the question, Pedro?
Do they try to force guys into fights when they're hurt?
No, you know, the one with Jose Aldo, that one I just don't know. But I think in reality, and these guys, you know, they're getting hurt a little bit more frequently only because they're training harder. But I think overall, they want them healthy and they want them to go on the long-term thing. But, you know, this Jose Aldo and McGregor fight was really the MMA version of the Mayweather-Pacquiao with so much marketing and so much money invested into it that, I guess the UFC tried everything to get Jose Aldo to fight. But, you know, Pedro, we've all had injured ribs, and we know that it's it's going to take everything away from you. And if you take one shot to that rib, you're pretty much done, you know. So I'm glad that he didn't come into the fight, because even at 90% with an injured rib, would have been detrimental to his loss and to his career.
Jake Duran's our guest, the Cutman Extraordinaire. They call him Stitch, but the bottom line is we're talking, of course, about the what cuts are about and what guys come into, you know, come into fights, whether they're hurt, whether they're not hurt. Jose Aldo had to come up with an X-ray showing a clearly broken rib. It wasn't cracked. It was broken off from the other rib, and that's a little scary, you know, because the UFC said initially that he had bruised ribs, and they talked with his doctor, and he had bruised ribs, so he had to come up with his X-ray to sort of prove he had broken ribs. That's where I'm sort of like scratching my head on this one. You see what I'm saying, Jake?
Yeah, no, I understand. And then, you know, Dana's bringing up the point that that's an old X-ray, you know, from a previous injury. So, you know, at that point, you know, that's, I look at that and I just let them handle whatever they got to handle. And like they say in the business, in our business, you know, I don't have a dog in that fight, brother. I just take care of them.
Okay, I'm talking about dogs in lots of fights. Of course, MMA right now. They're talking about not being able to rehydrate yourself from a intravenous type of thing when guys lose a lot of weight. I'm going to tell you a little story that I had, a little story that I did. Dr. Smith Ketchum here in San Francisco, and of course he's still practicing, not full-time, but he's still doing boxing as well. He was a boxing doctor, and he knew that I went through all kinds of extremely difficult to make weight one year. I just couldn't make it. I was getting old, 139 pounds. It was hell to get there. And he said to me, you know, I'm going to give you some vitamin B12 shots. He goes, and I'm probably going to put you on a feed. So after you go to the weigh-in, come to my office, I'll put you on an IV feed. Well, I don't know if it worked or not, Jake, okay? But I felt great that night. I really did. I felt good. It made me feel a little bit better. Maybe it was psychological, whatever. And now the Nevada City Athletic Commission or WADA, whoever this is, that's the governing body, is saying that these guys can't use these intravenous infusions on the day of the fight after the weigh-in. And I think that's there. You're getting to a guy's personal business again, man. Come on.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of negative response to that from the fighters themselves, because, you know, I understand these guys, especially when it comes to the mixed martial arts, because it's not like boxing where these guys lose 2 or 3 pounds, you know, in the last week. These guys will lose 10, 15 pounds in a day.
Yeah.
I was with Frank Trigg in Japan. He lost 18 pounds in one day. So to get rehydrated, instead of just drinking water and all this water, you know, it doesn't absorb into the system better. It just becomes water weight. But once you get into the intravenous, then it's done on a slow process and it gets into the system. So the complaint that these athletes are saying is, you know, don't take this IV away from us. If anything, I guess because they were concerned that there's going to be some substance in the IV, what have you not. But as these athletes are saying is, you know what, you guys control the IVs. You guys give us the IV packets, and we'll do them right after the weigh-ins right where you're at. And so, you know, I think that's still some of the subjects that have to be cleared up. And, you know, you can't put too many restrictions. I understand the health and safety of the fighters, but also you got to listen to the fighters too.
Well, if you understood the health and safety, you'd realize that Gerald McClellan had even been able to infuse himself with the intravenous drip, he might have been in better condition against Nigel Benn. What I'm trying to tell you is when guys dry out, and they dry out, the fluid in their brain sort of goes away. And when their brain gets hit, it sort of hits against the side of the head very hard. There's not the cushion involved. And when that happens, guys get hurt. Serious brain damage occurs. So the Nevada City Athletic Commission, the God group that they are, I mean, the God of all boxing and MMA, are they saying this? Is it their rule of saying it, or this is a company rule with the UFC?
Yeah, I think it's a company rule with the UFC. I don't think it's I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know the full details. I just know that these fighters aren't very happy with it, and their simple solution is have whoever is putting the restrictions on them supply the IVs so that there's no contamination whatsoever. You know, nobody's putting anything into it. So that one I don't fully understand, to be honest with you, 100%, Pedro. I just know that the fighters aren't happy with it.
Stitch, we're taking drug tests after the fight, so anything that they infuse in their bodies through an IV or something like that is going to come out in the drug test. I mean, this doesn't make sense. We don't want them shooting stuff. Well, you won't. They won't be doing anything because they're being drug tested right after the fight. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, you know, in some of the situations, normally what happens is, you know, everybody will get drug tested coming into the fight. Like we were in San Diego Wednesday, and that's what happened. Everybody got tested. But then at the end of the fight, it's a random drug test. And so you know, that's not consistent all the way, Pedro.
Okay, question. Should they test for weed? Should marijuana be a prohibited substance in a fighter's system? I mean, it stays there for 35, 60, sometimes 90 days. Do you really think that a guy should be able to do cocaine? And I'm not talking about a light heavyweight champion maybe that trains out of New Mexico, but a guy can do cocaine and 3 days later he can be clean. But if you smoke some marijuana, it's in your system for 90 days. Something's wrong with that picture in my mind. Maybe it's just come on weed guy. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm like you, brother. I don't think your weed's ever killed anybody, you know. And you're right, you know, to test positive for cocaine, but that's not during your training process, you know, get you out of that equation of being penalized. And then you get somebody like Nick Diaz that does it for medicinal purposes, and he gets penalized. And even Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., you know, they get a heavy penalty for something that's not going to give you – it's not a performance-enhancing drug by any means. You know, if anything, it just relaxes you.
You know, I'm going to tell you like it is. I know a guy that's sitting in the studio right now that woke up with a tremendous hangover this morning, okay? Went out last night with some people in the Excelsior District here in the city by the bay. Had a couple of drinks, doesn't drink very often, had a hell of a hangover, had some cannabis and a good hot bath this morning, and he's sitting here in front of this microphone right now sounding like he's about 95%. So what I'm trying to tell you is it's got all kinds of cure-all. In fact, you know who's my herbologist here on the show? Kyle Kingsbury.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I love Kyle. Great, great guy.
Triple K, he's my herb expert on the show. Now, let's go back to serious business now. You've got world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko. You're going to be in his corner when he takes on the Gypsy?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to that fight. You know, it's always a pleasure working with Vladimir, and then it used to be great working with Vitaly. You know, they're just first-class people all the way, and to me, it's just a pleasure and an honor.
Okay. What about Anthony Joshua? Have you seen anything? Have you seen any films of this guy?
Who?
Anthony, oh, my God. You can really – are you – yeah, exactly. Okay.
No, I'm serious. I think the name just popped up again, but my first response is who, and if you used to walk in right now, I wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah, you would, because he would demand your respect when he walked through the door. Take my word for it. He's 6'7", 240 pounds, 2012 Olympic gold medalist, now 12-0 with 12 whacks. He's going to be the guy, I think, the next generation of heavyweights. Now, Vladimir Klitschko and Tyson Fury, you know, Vladimir is – what is left for him to do? He's 39 years old, almost 39 years old now. I mean, he's been a fighter since 1996, winning the Olympic gold medal. He hasn't lost a fight since 2004. He hasn't been knocked down since 2004. I mean, what does he have left to prove besides that he's Vladimir Klitschko?
Yeah, well, he just wants that WBC belt. And that's really the bottom line. And then after that, I think, you know, he'll just kind of ride off into the sunset.
Okay. Question, is Al Haymon good for boxing?
I think so. He's, you know, good for me. I get work, you know. But, yeah, you know, overall, I think it's pretty awesome what's happening with Premier Boxing. You know, we're entertained. And you know, it's funny, Pedro, that's a good question that you asked, because when the UFC first started, nobody in boxing would talk about it. Now everybody in boxing is talking about it. But now that Premier Boxing has started, everybody in the mixed martial arts is talking about Premier Boxing. So, you know, whenever you have that type of communication, that type of dialogue going with fans, I think you've created something. And I think what Al Haymon is doing is, you know, he's putting money in fighters' pockets. And instead of putting them on the shelf for months, he's keeping them busy.
One promoter of note, the admitted briber, all that kind of good stuff, Massa Bob of the Bob Arum Top Rank Plantation, he said, quote, Al Haymon's paying those guys too damn much money.
Oh, God, yeah.
Isn't that sort of like an endorsement of Al Haymon?
Well, yeah, and then that's also that's also kind of putting the finger on yourself that you're not paying your guys enough money.
Well, you know?
So he's kind of letting us know that, yeah, the guys at Top Rank were getting paid the money that Don King was paying them.
Well, Stitch, I'll tell you this. Miguel Cotto fought for Top Rank for like 30-plus fights, was there most of his career. He had, in his first two fights after leaving Top Rank, he made more money in two fights than he made in his entire career.
Wow, that's sick.
That's sick. That's why, you know, when Mayweather grabs all the money, I'm not the biggest Floyd Mayweather fan in the world. I think if he was in the world of pornographic films, he'd be a dud because there'd be no money shots. But I give him props for taking control, grabbing the horse by the reins and getting the bulk of the money now, because, you know, when those fights – Well, back to the pay-per-view days, the reason why Bob Arum and these guys weren't hustling to put these fights on network TV was because they had to invest some money in it. They had to either buy the time or get some sponsors. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to go to the MGM Grand and Scott Gertner, who gave them $6 million for the fight. Then they wanted to go to HBO, who was going to cover the pay-per-view end of it. Boom, they're making millions of bucks, and Bob hasn't invested a buck of his own money.
Right, and I remember, you know, during those times, you know, the guys, the fighters, you'd say, look, who's making all the money? It's the promoters, the managers, and the networks. And, you know, and the fighters were scrapping and getting fights and, you know, not getting the money that was due to them. But I think now, you know, with the guys that I'm working with, then, you know, they get paid more money. Obviously, I get paid more money. So I'm not hating Al Haymon at all. And, you know, the times I worked with him before he had Premier Boxing, he was always cool with me, man. So
you need to tip him off on Pedro. You need to tip him off because he isn't taking my calls. You need to tell him to take one of Pedro's calls. Anyway, let's go back to Todd Duffy for just a second, Jake. He threw his punches way, way too wide. Mirror just threw it down the pike, man.
Yeah, it was balls to the walls, brother. Nothing but, you know. And I think somebody was going to go down. And I just didn't know whoever connected first. But that's what it was. It was just, you know, he was winging. And Frank Mir, being more of the veteran, was more composed. And he just, you know, he shot him right down the middle.
Okay. I've got about 45 seconds here. What do you think the legacy of Jake Stitch Duran should be? I mean, you know, from Northern California, you fled Northern California, went to Vegas and became an iconic figure in both boxing and MMA. Talk to me about that. I got about a half a minute.
All right. Well, real quick, and I just finished doing that Creed movie with Stallone and Michael B. Jordan, and I'm playing myself in that. So a little bit of an actor, but, you know, bottom line is my legacy is I want people to understand that, you know, I brought a little bit of education and safety to the game, and I think I'm doing that, and that's the way I want to end it, Pedro.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jake Stitch Duran. Stitch, always a pleasure. Say hello to your daughter for me.
I will, and God bless you, man, and let's do it again, Pedro. I got a lot more to talk about.
All the best. We'll hit him real soon, man. One of the great guests in MMA boxing. You got it. He's got it all going on, talking about Jake Stitch Duran. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 1-800-878-7529. Fit in one call, maybe. And the next break, you are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings.